question for you. You can be seated once somebody says something nice to you. And if no one said anything nice to you, you just stand there and we'll try to think of something. Question for you. What's the prettiest or most enjoyable walk that you've ever been on? What is the prettiest or most enjoyable walk that you have ever been on? I have several thoughts there as I pondered that. I'm sure I've forgotten a lot. But, you know, we were in D.C., not this past week, but the week before that. And do you realize that the Washington Mall is 2 miles long? You know, I never had a clue. You know, when they showed on television, I thought it was, you know, maybe 100 yards, maybe 300 yards, but it's 2 miles long, 2 miles long. And, you know, Ryan, of course, was our tour guide, so to speak, there from the Capitol all the way to the Potomac River. And there was views of the Capitol building, the Washington Monument, the Lincoln Memorial, the Jefferson Memorial. Of course, the cherry blossoms near the Jefferson Memorial there, the place they call the Basin. There was the World War II Monument, the Vietnam War Memorial, and the Korean War Memorial as well. So a lot. I'd say that was one of the most enjoyable walks that I've been on. Of course, by the time the day was over, we'd walked. I believe that was our day. We walked 12 and a half miles, wasn't it? 12.89 to be precise. And it was kind of funny. You know, your phone measures, I don't keep track of that, but your phone measures how many steps you've taken. And Amy had a bunch of more steps than Ryan did, because Ryan, the long-legged thing that he is, you know, could take bigger steps. Another walk that I was on was the Freedom Trail in Boston. We've been to Boston a couple times when we lived in Connecticut. Not sure if it was during that time or as we were leaving Connecticut. I can't remember the exact setting, but the Freedom Trail is 2.5 miles long. And they say that there's 16 significant American Revolutionary landmarks. There's the Boston Common. There's the Paul Revere's house is still standing. The Old North Church. Remember where the signal was given to Paul Revere about the British coming. The USS Constitution is there. That's the ship. Also, the Granary Burying Ground. We call it a cemetery. And so many famous people were buried there. I really, really enjoyed that because I'm a history buff. So that was an enjoyable walk. And then back a ways, back in January with Ryan and Jason, we were down around Watoga State Park, and we walked this one trail up the side of the mountain. It was kind of misty, and it was really, really beautiful. I mean, it wasn't so much the scenery once you got there, which you could see the mountains, but on the way up, everything was so green, and it was so much moss. It's kind of like one of those walks that you expect a leprechaun just to jump out at any moment. No, I don't believe in leprechauns. I'm kidding you, but if it helps get the idea, it was so peaceful, and it looked like you could just lie down on that moss and take a nap. But there's been some beautiful walks that I've had that I've really enjoyed. But you know, most importantly, the walk that we should really enjoy is our daily walk with Jesus. Our daily walk with Jesus. Now, I hope you're awake, alert, and enthusiastic, because if you pay attention today, if you get a grasp of a daily walk with Jesus, I guarantee you that a lot of your problems will fade away. I guarantee you that compared to this walk with Jesus that you are enjoying, that life will seem a whole lot brighter and your eyes will be on Jesus, and a lot of the things that really bother us and upset us and cause us Sunday school class to not have an excellent spirit will fade away. So I'm thankful that God, I'm excited about the message today. I'm not sure if it's going to be a one-parter or a two-parter, or maybe even a three-parter. I just never always know these things, depending on how God leads. But we're going to be talking about walking with Jesus daily. Walking with Jesus daily. That's the title of the message, Walking with Jesus Daily. And if you haven't figured it out yet, that spells out WWJD. Now, remember when we went through that phase quite a few years back now, what would Jesus do? But it also works with walking with Jesus daily. We used to have a free teen camp up there in Tyler County that our church put on, and it didn't cost cost the kids anything. They'd send a deposit check, a 25, so we'd give some accountability they were coming, and we wouldn't even cash it. We'd give them back to them, to their parents when they came and registered. And we had as many as 96 kids at that camp the first year, and somewhere we had some 30-some. But one of the years, I'm pretty sure, our theme was WWJD, that is, Walking with Jesus Daily. And let me ask you, if you're sitting there saying, what is exactly the preacher talking about? Or you're saying, you know what, I know my walk isn't what it should be with Jesus daily. You see, one of my really, really huge pastoral concerns is that we're one way when we come to church. I'm a Christian. Preacher, look at me. I wash my face. I even brush my teeth. I even put deodorant on. I look pretty good. I smell pretty good. But then Monday through Saturday, a lot of times we don't walk with Jesus in those 6 days in between. Maybe a little bit on Sunday. And I'm not saying it. Life is busy. It's sometimes hard to get that walk that we ought to have. But if we can get that walk with Jesus daily, consistently into our life, I guarantee you God can change you. I guarantee that God can work in your heart and life. I guarantee you that God can do some miracles through your life, through your family, through your community, through your church. But today, as we look at WWJD, Walking with Jesus Daily, let me ask you one more question. Do you want to walk with Jesus daily? Do you really, really want? Because believe me, some Christians don't want to walk with Jesus daily. They want to do their own thing instead of walking with Jesus. We're going to look at that. We're looking at the road to Emmaus. Just 1 week after we celebrated Easter, we're going to look at the resurrected Savior again. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. We're going to be looking at verses 13 through verse 36. It's Luke chapter 24. It'll be on the monitor here in a moment. But Luke chapter 24, verses 13, all the way through 36. If you'd pay real close attention as we read this story, this true account. It says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them." This is the resurrected Savior. It says verse 16, "But their eyes were holden that they should not know him or recognize him." Verse 17, "And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was," what? "Alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Now, this is a wonderful story. I mean, this is one of those like, wow. I'd have loved to have been one of those two disciples that was on that road to Emmaus. And you have to ask yourself the question, why did God, of all the stories that could have been included, why did God include this story in the Bible? And as you look at it, I think we can learn some things about walking with Jesus in our daily walk with the Lord as we look at this story. Now, relating the highlights of the story, you see, Emmaus was about 7 or 8 miles northwest of Jerusalem. So 7 or 8 miles. So it would take 2 to 3 hours, let's say, because you can walk, you know, maybe 3 hours or 3 miles in an hour. So we're talking probably a 2 or 3 hour trip at least to walk. They couldn't just hop in their car and buzz to Emmaus. Now, we're really not told why they were going to Emmaus. We don't know. And we're only told the name of one of them, Cleopas. And as far as I know, this is the only reference to Cleopas in Scripture, this Cleopas right here. But he was a disciple of Jesus, and whoever the other guy was, he was a disciple of Jesus. So for whatever reason, they were going to Emmaus, some 8 miles away, let's say, and they were talking a lot about what was going on. And it says in one of the verses that they were sad. So as a disciple of Jesus, I imagine if you witnessed what had happened on the cross, you would have been sad. Now, Jesus told his disciples repeatedly. Now, Cleopas was not an apostle. He was a disciple or a follower of Jesus. Not one of the called apostles, but a disciple. And the other one was most likely also a disciple, not an apostle. But Jesus had taught repeatedly that he was going to die on the cross, he's going to be placed in a tomb, and he's going to come back to life. But the disciples and the apostles, none of them seemed to really get it completely. So they were talking about this situation, and it's really interesting when the Lord asks them, you know, basically, what manner of communication are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad in verse 17? You know, Jesus asks questions, and as God, though, he still knows the answers, right? Y'all agree with that? But he asks questions to probe into the heart of the people that he's asking these questions. And then they said, basically, wow. You know, where have you been? What rock have you been under? Because there's a lot of, you're not from, and he said unto them, what things are going on? What's happening? That's almost humorous. God has a sense of humor, right? This is Jesus himself, and I believe that he blinded their eyes so that they would not recognize him as Jesus at this point. Now, you can say some, you know, well, his visage or face was marred more than any person ever. That could have been, yeah, all that could have been part of it. But I think mainly God blinded their eyes so that they would not recognize him, because God has a point in this story that he wanted to get across. And they say, what things y'all talking about? Then they say, Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God. Now, it's a little troubling to me that they say prophet. You know, maybe their faith was a little bit weak at this point. But then it says, the chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But then verse 21 gives me a little bit more encouragement that they were more solid than just he's a prophet. Because in their mind, notice what it says, but we trusted that it had been he which which should have redeemed Israel. Who was going to redeem Israel? The Messiah. So they seem to have really accepted him as Messiah, but they were kind of in a low point right now. I mean, I believe all of us would have been kind of in that low point if we'd not understood that he was going to die to pay the sin debt of the world and then resurrect back to life. So I think we all would have been in a little low point. But then they say certain women of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher, verse 23. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher. That would be Peter and John went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said, but saw him they saw not to this point. So wow, we're hearing some rumors that the tomb is empty. We're hearing some rumors that angels are appearing. We're hearing some rumors that Jesus is alive. And I imagine they were sad. I imagine they were perplexed. I imagine they were a bit discouraged. But then Jesus in verse 25, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Do you know that the Bible is all about Jesus? It's either pointing to or pointing back to Jesus and God's redemptive plan. And he says, you know, Jesus not mincing words, "Oh, fools." Wow, pretty strong. "Slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." And then it says, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" In other words, didn't Jesus have to die? Didn't I have to die on the cross? It says, "In the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So he explains it. You know, scripture, this prophecy, guess what? It's pointing to me. You know, this prophecy was pointing to me. And when this happened, it was pointing to me. And on and on. And it says, "They drew nigh unto the village." So they were heading to Emmaus. They were there. And from what I understand, this is kind of customary, since they obviously had a residence or something they were staying at, maybe their own, I don't know. But it was to kind of act like you're going to go on. Okay, I'm going to go on, kind of. And then they said, no. You know, one of the reasons I think they wanted Jesus to go eat with them, because boy, what a fantastic Bible conference he just gave. And they said, "Abide with us," verse 29. "It's toward the evening, and the day is far spent." So he went in to tarry with them, and it says that as he sat at meat with them, he took bread. Now, I don't believe this is communion. I believe this is a meal. And he's sitting there, and as he took bread, as he blessed the bread, as he broke it and gave it to them, guess what? Boom shakalaka. Their eyes were open. They said, guess what? This is Jesus. The one we've been talking about. The one who just gave us a wonderful Bible conference throughout all of the scriptures and all of the prophecies. It says, "And they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." Now, I personally believe that he just poof, gone. It wasn't like he took a back door. It's not like he slid out, snuck out. Is that a word? I don't believe it was anything like that. I think poof, he's gone. And then they say some things. Boy, didn't our heart burn when he talked with us and he opened the scriptures? And guess what they did? Now, it says it was toward evening. So it doesn't say necessarily it was evening yet, but it was shooting or heading toward evening time. Everybody with me on that? Everybody still live, awake, alert, and enthusiastic? Now, if you can't be excited about a true account in the Bible, there's something wrong with your exciter button. Really, there's something wrong. Because the Word of God is exciting, isn't it? And the Word of God. Now, when you say story sometimes, now it's kind of like, oh, like kind of like storybook forest or something. No, it's not a story, a fantasy. When I say story, it's a true account. And this really happened. What an amazing thing. But they said, you know what? We're not going to stay in Emmaus. For whatever reason, again, they went to Emmaus. I don't know, really. But they said, it's toward evening, but we're heading back. Now, again, they didn't buzz in their car, get in their car, and head back to Jerusalem. They had to walk on a dusty road. So another 2 to 3 hours. So 2 to 3 hours going, 2 to 3 hours back. But they were excited about what had just happened. Jesus was alive. And it says what they did. They headed out. And it says they they left the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, found the 11, verse 33, gathered together, and them that were with them, so it was the 11 apostles, and others gathered with them, and they were hearing words, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon." It says in verse 35, they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. They were excited to tell people, we encountered Jesus, the risen Savior also. Verse 36, I had that read in particular. And as they spoke and related the story about the breaking of bread and seeing Jesus, guess what? Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said, saith unto them, peace be unto you. Today we're talking about, we're going to be looking at some points here, walking with Jesus daily. You know, many times in the Bible, the Christian life is likened to a walk. It's likened to a walk. What can we learn today about our Christian life that is likened to a walk? Point number one, walking with Jesus daily involves recognizing daily that Jesus is alive. That's important. You know, if you want to walk with Jesus, if you want to have a close, intimate walk with the Lord, you know, at least 20 times a day, you ought to remind yourself that Jesus is alive. You know, otherwise, you're walking with a dead Savior. That's no fun at all. But I'm thankful. We ought to remind ourselves that Jesus is indeed alive. Again, he's not a dead Savior. The Christian daily walk should be exciting because Jesus is alive. I mean, can you imagine walking along, discouraged, down in the dumps, trying to process everything that had happened, and Jesus himself shows himself, walks with them, gives them a wonderful Bible conference, and then reveals himself to them, and they're like, wow. Did you know, just as if you or I were there on that road to Emmaus, can I tell you on the authority of God's word that Jesus is alive? You know, I remember years ago, we were at a friend's house. I was just a little kid, and we were visiting a friend of my dad's. He was a big deer hunter. He could tell the best deer hunting stories I've ever heard. And I remember hearing those stories, and I remember something was on the television, and some guy that looked kind of important, but he definitely... Jesus would have called him a fool. He was saying, you know, Jesus is dead. God is dead. Can I tell you on the authority of God's word that Jesus is alive? God is alive. He is on the throne. Jesus is at his right hand of the throne, and he's just as alive today. And when I walk with Jesus, I don't have to get up and ho-hum and be all discouraged. I can say, because Jesus is alive, I am alive, and I will stay alive, and I will live forever with God. Now, that's not just a little asterisk near the bottom of the page. This is like highlighted, underlined, all in caps. When you text somebody all in caps, it means you're shouting at them, right? I've heard that said. If you text someone, it used to be, I think, maybe when you emailed someone all in caps, it meant you were shouting. Well, can I say, Jesus is alive, and shout at you and say, all caps, bold, exclamation point, or 100 of them afterwards, Jesus is alive. And it's great that we could celebrate that last Sunday, wasn't it? It's great that we have sunrise breakfast together. We come out early. You know, I know it's not quite exactly at sunrise, but something a little bit out of the routine, a little bit early. We came and we were reminded that Jesus is alive. And then we got over and had a good breakfast. We come back over here and had Sunday school and morning worship, reminded that Jesus is alive. But let me tell you, if you want to walk with Jesus in a good way, in a walk with Jesus daily, guess what? We need to remind ourselves all the time that Jesus is alive. He's not a dead Savior. He's not someone who wound up the universe and doesn't care about your life. The God that I serve and the Savior that I have accepted into my heart and life is a God that loves me supremely. and is a God who is involved in my heart and in my life, and he wants to know what's going on. He wants to help me. He wants to encourage me. And believe me, he wants to walk right beside of me if I'll only let him. You know, walking with Jesus daily involves recognizing daily, sorry for the double word there, but we need to be reminded that Jesus is alive. Again, the Christian life should be exciting. Now, to talk to some Christians, you'd never believe this. Really? It's kind of like, now, I realize, I don't mean to be too hasty with anybody, too harsh, because sometimes I feel that way too. And I probably just put on a good face. Because things are going bad. You know, things are kind of rough and things are kind of lousy and kind of, you know, things in my life personally because I live in a sinful world. But I usually, how you doing? I at least give you a pretty good. How you doing? Pretty good. I'm me and pretty good in the church. You know who pretty good is, right? Sonny? You know, pretty good. We agree with that. I at least give you a pretty good, even if things aren't really pretty good at that time physically or personally in my life. But you know, some people, I'm telling you, they're a walking doom and gloom testimony of what Christianity is like. It's like, how are you doing? Barely making it, preacher. I mean, you try to encourage people. You try to, how are things going? Oh, not very good. You know, as I preached about, it's almost like they've been taking lessons from Eeyore. Eeyore, right? You know, it's like, oh, not very good, preacher. I lost my tail again. You know, he always says, it's kind of that idea. But I'm telling you, walking with Jesus should not be that way. If your walk with Jesus is a ho-hum, I mean all the time, there's something wrong with your walk with Jesus. Because it's not supposed to be that way. We have our moments because we're human, and sometimes we don't see how God is working and doing all these things. I reminded the Sunday school class today that even when you're in the valley, even when you're going through all the difficult things in life, you know, God tells you that if you love the Lord and you're serving the Lord as a child of His and you're being faithful, God takes whatever happens in your life and whatever looks so bad and gloomy and discouraging and turns it into something good. Isn't that what Romans 8:28 says? And part of that is my walk with God. I'm like, I'm walking with the Lord every day, and I need to know that He is alive. I need to know that He's right here beside of me. He's my best buddy, if you would. Now, He's still God. I'm not bringing Him down to my level, but He's still God, but He cares about me that much. You see, walking with Jesus daily involves recognizing that Jesus is alive. And because Jesus is alive, He walks with us every day. Matthew chapter 28, I'm just going to quote this to you, verse 20, the latter part of the verse, He says, after He commissions us to tell the world about the Lord, He says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I can muster an amen for that, can't you? It's actually in the scripture too. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, the latter part of the verse, it says, for He has said, Jesus, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So wherever your walk may take you in life, whether it's a treacherous, scary trek of a trail, Jesus is right there with you. Whether it's sun is shining, everything is good, Jesus is with you. It says in verse 31, their eyes were open, and they knew Him. They knew that Jesus was alive. This was the fourth appearance of the resurrected Jesus. Mary Magdalene was the first appearance. The other ladies, the second appearance. And then Peter. We're not said a whole lot about it, but 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 5, it mentions that Jesus appeared to Peter. And this would be the fourth appearance of the resurrected Savior. I cannot see with my physical eye the resurrected Savior, but I know in my heart, and I know according to the Word of God that He is alive. Verse 35, their testimony to the other apostles, the apostles and the other disciples says, and they told what things were done in the way and how He was, notice it says, known of them, verse 35, in breath. breaking of bread. None of them. You see, I'm thankful that Jesus is alive. Do you realize that the gospel that we preach is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus? We'll not turn there for the sake of time, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you look at the first few verses, it tells us very clearly, Paul writes to the Corinthian church that I've been preaching this gospel. Then it goes on to say the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. You can't get away from that. You can't get away from that. You see, I want to make this very clear. We begin a walk with Jesus, that daily walk with Jesus, by being saved, by being truly born again. And can I tell you, you can come to this church for 100 years if you want to and still not be saved. You can go live in your garage, and after 100 years, you're still not going to be a car. You can live at McDonald's, and still after 100 years, you're not going to be a Big Mac. You may look like one, but you're not going to be a Big Mac. And you can come to church. It has to be a decision to believe the gospel. And the gospel is the death of Jesus upon the cross. And why did he die? Why did he die upon the cross? Why did he shed his blood? To pay for my sins and to pay for your sins. But then he was placed into a borrowed tomb. And then resurrected back to life after 3 days. You see, we begin that walk. I trusted Jesus when I was 11 years old. I trusted Jesus. You can trust Jesus today. If you've not done so, there's nothing I can more highly recommend to you than that you trust Jesus as your Savior and begin that walk with the Lord. You ask the Lord to save you and forgive you of your sins. You tell him in prayer that you believe that Jesus really was exactly what the Bible says he was, the Son of God, died upon the cross to pay for your sins, and resurrected back to life. And then you confess, the Bible says, Jesus as your Savior. Now, that's a commitment. I think a lot of people get confused on that. It's kind of like, yeah, I'll do it, and then I'll just do my own thing. If you really believe that, you're probably not saved. You probably didn't make a real commitment to the Lord. Because if it's real, it will result in you serving Jesus or the Holy Spirit getting after you if you don't. You see, that walk begins at salvation. If anybody's here and they say, you know, preacher, I really don't know. If I died today, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. You know what I'd do whenever we start to sing this invitational song here in a moment? I would come down the aisle immediately. I wouldn't care what anybody in this church thinks about it. I wouldn't care what in the world's going on. I'd say, I want to know Jesus as my Savior. And I want to emphasize, it's not only like you escape hell and get heaven. Again, you get to walk with Jesus every day of your life. Wow, what a blessing. The joy and the peace and the security that he gives. But I'm thankful that Jesus is alive. The point that we looked at this morning, walking with Jesus daily involves recognizing that Jesus is alive. You know, walking in snow is fun. Yeah, it really is. I like snow, don't you? The beauty of the whiteness and the purity, it seems like, of the snow. Walking in rain can be fun. But I imagine that most would agree walking in the sunshine is the best. Would y'all agree to that? Walking in the sunshine is the best. You know, knowing that Jesus is alive and walking with Jesus daily is like walking in the sunshine. Seriously. I'm not sure every Christian fully gets that. And I'm sure that I don't fully get it, but I got a pretty good understanding that when I'm right with God and I'm walking with Jesus, my days will be a whole lot better. Let me ask you this morning, as we land this plane, so to speak, in this message, conclude the message. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, now, if you don't know whether you've done that, there's a pretty good chance you did not do that. And I would recommend, whether you did or didn't, that you nail it down sure that you're truly saved. Let me tell you, life is a vapor that appears for a moment, then vanishes away. And this may be the day that God knows you're leaving this world. You do not want to leave this world without Jesus as your Savior. I don't care how many people might think you're saved, how many people you might have impacted through the years, how many churches you might attend. I don't even care how many bodies of water that you've disturbed with what you called baptism. If you've never made the decision for Jesus to be truly born again and put your faith and trust in that, you're sitting there as a lost individual. And if your heart stops at any moment, you will spend eternity separated from God in a place called hell. But the great news is we're in this age of grace. They call it the church age. And the invitation is going forth saying, you know what? If you don't know that you're saved, I would be saved today. As we sing here in a moment, I'm going to be somewhere down front. You come up and you say, preacher, I want to be saved. I would love to take the time to show you how you can be saved and born again, truly born again. You can leave this building and say, you know what, preacher, I had my doubts when I came, but I know that I'm a Christian. And you can begin that walk with the Lord, that daily walk with Jesus that we've been talking about. But what about the Christians that are here? How is your walk with the Lord? How is your daily walk with the Lord? We're going to say, we have a lot more to say from the story, but how is your daily walk with the Lord? Is it all like, ho, ho, I'm just kind of just muddling through? Well, I'd encourage you, really, I would. I'd encourage you, as we sing here in a moment, I'd encourage you to come up to the altar and say, God, help my walk with you not to be ho, hum. Help me to keep in my brain, because Jesus is alive, I'm going to live forever. And because Jesus is alive, I have a purpose in life. Just come up here. I mean, be honest with God and say, God, I have some days that ho-hum and some days that are like walking in the sunshine. Well, why not come up to the altar and say, God, help me to have more sunshine days and help me to recognize what a great Savior you are, a risen Savior today. If God is speaking into your heart, as we sing in just a moment, I'd encourage, don't hesitate. If you wait for the second verse, you probably won't move. But if God is speaking to your heart today, and say, yeah, God is really speaking to my heart about walking with Him and in sunshine and enjoying my walk with the Lord daily, come up to the altar. Just listen to what God is saying to you. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus, today's the day. I would not walk out that door not knowing that I'm truly born again. And I mean that. I would not. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for this wonderful account in Scripture. And Lord, we thank you that you've given us the privilege, just like these guys on the road to Emmaus, you've given us the privilege to walk with you every day. And Lord, help us to enjoy the walk. Yeah, there's lots of things that bother us and lots of things that come up in this old sinful world. But Lord, may we just realize that you're right beside of us. And Lord, let the encouragement today, as we've talked about, the encouragement that you are alive, encourage our hearts, strengthen our hearts, and give us hope. Today and tomorrow, we pray. Lord, we love you. We commit the invitation to you now. Lord, I pray that those that you are speaking to with your Holy Spirit will indeed respond. And Lord, again, if there's one person today that's not sure they're saved or would say, I know that I'm not saved, I pray that they may take the steps out of their seat today and truly trust Jesus as their Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name.